And it is my delight to welcome Laureate Nanogue, Patricia Ford. And Patricia has written over 20 books in both English and Oscuilga. And she has written plays, worked on TV shows like Ross na Rún, Afric and Fair City. And now she's bringing books to the children of Ireland in this really, really exciting new project. Patricia, how are you today?
Good morning, Orla. All good here on the very wild Atlantic Way in Galway.
Absolutely. Wild over in Galway, I'd say today. And I'm kind of exhausted just reading your bio because you're a very busy lady, it seems. And maybe you might explain to our listeners, just to sort of start us off, that what exactly is your position as Laureate Nanogue?
Yeah, well, first of all, it is the greatest honour and privilege to be Laureate Nanogue. I'm seventh in Ireland, the seventh Laureate Nanogue. And basically, it is a position appointed by the Arts Council to honour somebody who writes or illustrates children's books. And your role really is to be an ambassador for reading, to encourage children to read books, and to promote your own sector. So to get Irish people to become aware of Irish children's writers and illustrators, and to hopefully get children to interact with them.
And you're going to be in this position until 2026, isn't that right?
Yes, we say that very quickly, Orla, and we don't dwell on it. it is a three-year sentence, as somebody pointed out.
Well, I'm sure you take it in your stride, because your love of books and all things to do with children is, if anybody reads your bio, you can see that you are so dedicated to getting the Irish children reading and enjoying reading. And I would be a prolific reader. My mother was a prolific reader. And my mother always said to me that you're, no matter where you go in the world, you're never alone if you have a book. And I have always said that to my children. And I think it's just a wonderful thing to encourage young people to sit and read and just have that time for themselves.
And you know, Orla, at the moment, because our children are so influenced by their peer group, both in person and online, they never really get away from them anymore. When I came home from school, I could close my door and I didn't see them again till the next morning, and that day is gone. And they are with them all the time. So in some ways, we who write for children are the last flank of adults who get to speak to them directly. When I'm writing a book, I'm whispering straight into their ear. And in a book, you can pass on values, you can ask them to look at things another way, you can encourage empathy, and more than anything else, I think for a lot of us writers, we encourage them to be themselves. As somebody once said, everybody else is taken. We really want them to be their own good selves. And to be as creative and as open to the world as they can be.
And it's so interesting you talk about, you know, social media nowadays. And, you know, when I was younger, none of this existed. And escaping into a book was the only way that you saw the outside world sometimes. And do you think that reading is as popular as ever if we give children the chance to read?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I hear most commonly from adults is, you know, oh, childhood isn't what it was. It's not like back in our day. But I go into schools all the time and I talk to children all the time. And I can reassure everybody, children are exactly as they always were. They haven't changed at all. They are warm, curious, intelligent people. What has changed is the environment around them. So when I go into a room, I can always find my tribe. I can find the five or six kids who are exactly the way I was, who are never without a book. That is always the way it's been. They've always been a minority in a classroom, but they're still there. And it's the rest of the children we need to encourage. And to do that, we are competing with everything that is available to them online in a virtual world. And that's okay. I think we're up to the challenge of competing with that. Books can compete with anything. We just need to get children to take that first step. And I've seen it so often. I've met children who said, I don't like reading, I don't read books. And you find the book that they will like. And I often say to parents as well, you know, get a book, read it for them. We're all lazy. Read it to them to the point where they'll want to take it up and finish it. Bring them to the edge of the cliff. And I used to do this when I was a teacher many years ago. You know, I would take five or six novels and I would read the first two chapters or so to a point where you really want to know what happens next, and then watch them fight over the books because everybody wanted to see what happened next.
And as a parent, that's such good advice. I mean, there's nothing better. I know we're tired and I know it's an always on society and you're working from home and everything like that. But to take an hour or a half hour before your child goes to bed and to snuggle up next to them and to read a book, there is nothing like it in the world for both of you just to share that hour.
And I think the thing is, we're very much encouraged to do that when our children are small and they're reading picture books. But I distinctly remember my eldest child, my son, who was a great reader, and then he stopped reading at about the age of 13. And he just had no interest. There were other things taking his attention. And I remember my husband and I read to him Philip Pullman's Northern Lights. And we read it out loud to him. And he, you know, because boys that age will say to you, you know, I hate this. I don't want you reading aloud to me. I'm not a child. But really, he didn't hate it. And we read the whole book to him. And it was one of the best things we ever did, because from then on, he was back reading again.
And it's so important.
I do believe
we
are all lazy.
Mm.
You know, if you can, you know, dodge it, particularly as a child, if there's an easier way, you'll go for that. But with reading, I think, go for the easy way. Let them read whatever they want to read. Read aloud to them. Let them read an audiobook. Don't be afraid of a Kindle. It doesn't matter. What matters is that they love stories and that they want to keep reading.
Exactly. And my youngest son is dyslexic and he's 17 years of age now. And I've despaired because I'm trying to get him to read in all those ways. And like that, you know, it's a chore for him because it's hard. And we've discovered recently that he loves Japanese anime. And we have found Japanese anime books that you can buy in Eason's. And we have bought them. And it's like a different person. He is devouring these books. Now, these books are incredible because you read them from the back to the front, and they are incredible books, and I just don't understand them myself. But to see him sitting there reading this book, it takes him a bit longer, but because he's interested in it, it's not a chore, and it just brings joy to my life.
And Orla, what age did you say he was?
He's 17.
Yeah, because there are a lot of great graphic novels out now, and a lot of children who have dyslexia find graphic novels easier to read. There's a great woman on social media, Sarah Webb. If you follow Sarah, she loves graphic novels. She talks a lot about it. There's also a great book. I'm going to be killed now because I always have trouble with the title of this. I think it's called The Great White Sea. Anyway, it's by Serena Malloy. She's a new writer. It's her first book. She herself is dyslexic, and the book is, the protagonist is dyslexic. And it's written as a verse novel, which is really easy to read. And I would encourage your son to have a look at that.
Definitely.
Serena Malloy and her book.
It's just to find something that they can feel part of, I think. And this is again how this caught my eye, because I absolutely adore this idea of bringing the books to the kids, you know, because it's just such a fabulous idea. So this is what we're talking about. It's the Whole Wild World bus tour, and it's coming to Cork, and I want to know more about it. Where did the idea come from?
Well, it's funny, you know, when you become Laureate in an Og, you need a project, and I was trying to think, you know, what did I want to do? And I thought, I really think after COVID and everything, we need to get out there and we need to be talking to children. And given that I live in Galway, sometimes you can feel over here in the Wild West that, you know, we're missing out on a lot. So I thought my first rule is we're going to start in the West. And the plan is to take my best bunch of people in the world, Irish children's writers and illustrators, some of them very well known, some of them will be new, and we're going to take them on a bus. And we're going to go all the way down the Wild Atlantic Way from the top of Donegal all the way down to West Cork and maybe even over to Dingle. So that's the plan. And as we go, my theme for my laureateship is called Making It Up As We Go Along. And I want us to be like the circus coming to town. I have this picture in my mind, Orla, of a small school on the Western Seaboard, and we descend upon them. A gang of writers and illustrators. And our whole mission is to say to them, this is great fun. You are going to love this. And introduce them to books and introducing them to making it up as they go along. And saying there are no rules, there are no right answers or wrong answers. We're just going to make stories.
And that's wonderful, because the children then, like, you're going to have a diverse group of children. You're going to have children with disabilities who maybe never see themselves represented in a book, they feel, or you may have people who are maybe on the outside and maybe not quite into it yet, but they can then, you know, create the narrative themselves, and you're actually taking your lead from the kids.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that whole thing of, we're going to try and get everybody involved and not forget anybody or leave anybody behind. We will have a Gaeilge on the bus always to speak to children in Gaelscoileanna. We will have a new writer on the bus always. And then we'll have a whole gang of very experienced people who know how to work with children, know how to talk to them. And we're hoping on the other side, because we're always looking to the end game, we are looking to be inspired by the children of Ireland and no better people. We want to hear all their stories. And you know, Orla, you can imagine going down the Wild Atlantic Way, there will be different local stories as well all the way down there. And we want to hear all about that and what they're reading and what they're writing. And I suppose primarily we want to have great fun. And after COVID, and like I said to you earlier, with all the competing we have to do and the challenges there are to get children to read books, I think myself, this is one way to do it, to bring very lively, very giddy people on a bus into schools all along the West Coast.
Oh, I can imagine the excitement of the children seeing that bus pull up outside their schools and knowing that they're just going to have an absolute ball on it.
Yeah, I'm imagining the excitement on the bus and controlling
the adults. Absolutely. And you know, the beauty of this as well is that, you know, kids will absolutely lap up the fact that they are talking to people who've written or illustrated these books, you know, because they adore being able to see somebody being creative, and then they can go and know that, oh, well, maybe I can do that as well.
Yeah, because I remember when I was a child, I read constantly, but I thought that all the writers were men and were dead, pretty much. The only woman that I really thought about as a writer was Enid Blyton.
Yes.
And I really wasn't sure if she was real or not.
Yeah.
Because she just turned out so many books and she was so kind of magical to me. I'm not sure I totally believe she was a real person.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I think I devoured Enid Blyton books all my childhood. And, you know, trying to read those as well to my sons, you know, a lot of the time, the Magic Faraway Tree and all that got a bit of eye rolling. But they listened, you know, and all that sort of stuff.
And Orla, you know what it is at the moment as well? There's a new campaign called Discover Irish Kids Books. You can look it up online, Discover Irish Kids Books. There's a gang of us writers who've been trying to push the idea that, unfortunately, in our schools at the moment, children can be hard pushed to name two Irish writers. They have fallen into a kind of a David Walliams, Wimpy Kid, and they read those books over and over again. And Discover Irish Kids Books is trying to say to children, look, there's a whole army of Irish writers here that you could try out. And that group, Discover Irish Kids, are doing stuff online where they have posters saying things like, you know, if you love David Walliams, you'll also like these books.
Brilliant.
And it's been taken up by libraries and bookshops around the country. So you're going to see a lot more of that, Discover Irish Kids books. And it will hopefully encourage children to look a little bit further and see that right beside them, there are lots of good writers.
And I will always buy an Irish, you know, if I will always go for the Irish book, children's book, over the English book if I can. But a lot of times, even as a parent, you don't really know who's who unless it's blatantly in your face, you know. But I would always choose an Irish book.
You know, sometimes you go into a bookshop and you won't find a whole lot of Irish children's writers, which is sad, because the space is being taken up by these big celebrity names. So we might have to work a little bit harder to find the book. But it's like, you know, over the years, Orla, there were so many, you know, Buy Irish campaigns. One thing we do know from every kind of research is Irish people want to support Irish people. That's a fact. All those Buy Irish campaigns did really well because of that. You ask Joseph on the street, if you have a choice, would you rather buy Irish? They will say, yes, I would. So we're trying to capitalise on that and say to people, you know, when you go into a shop, ask them, do you have Irish children's authors?
It's just putting it in people's consciousness, and then they will do that, I have no doubt. But if somebody is listening and they want to get this bus desperately to their area, how can they do that?
Oh, the bus, yes. Well, you need to apply before the end of the month. You need to go on the website, www.laureatenanogue.ie, And there's a very simple little form to fill in, just telling us that you would really like us to come to you. And then the Laureate's office, God bless them, will spend the next few months sorting it all out and the logistics of it, and we'll get back to you. So laureatenoak.ie before the end of September. Just get on and say we're a school or a library or somebody who works with young people, and we would love you to call.
Well, that is fairly simple now to do, and hopefully there'll be loads of people so that you will be stopping all over Ireland along the Atlantic Way. You won't have time to think about anything else. But Patricia,
we're
it's been
to be out for 2 weeks, and at the rate we're going, we could be out for
months. I'd say.
End.
Yeah. I'd say now pack a bag because you might be away for a while. But Patricia, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you, and your passion for books and children just comes through. And the best of luck in the rest of your 3 year sentence. 2026, I'm sure we'll be hearing loads from you. And just to sort of play us out from our interview today, you have chosen a great bunch of ambassadors for the west of Ireland as well, the Saw Doctors. So we're going to play them out, but it has been my greatest pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, Orla. It was lovely to talk to you too.
Thank you very much. Bye for now.
Doing just once would be enough for those who've lost in life for love, for those who've lost their guile and nerve, their innocence and their jive and verve, for those who feel they've been mistreated, discriminated, robbed or cheated, to claim one victory is fine. Doing just and face the ball.